Summer has come to an end, so it's about time to bring our summer series from Revelation to its conclusion. Some of you may have already found the colored pencils and papers in the ends of your pews, and I hope that you'll share them with each other. Our scripture reading today has some amazing imagery, and it's art prize season, so I invite and encourage you to do some illustrating of this final message from Revelation as we read the scripture and hear the message. Revelation is the record of John's vision while he was imprisoned on the island of Patmos. God sent an angel to share this revelation from Jesus Christ, who is at the center of this vision, this prophecy. And it opens with a beatitude: blessed are those who take its message to heart. And John sees Jesus among seven lampstands, which represent the seven churches. John was told to write to each church letters of warning or admonishment and encouragement. And we spent some time in those letters at the beginning of the summer. Then John saw a throne in heaven. He saw four living creatures and angels and all the saints from all the tribes and nations gathered around the throne of the Lamb, who is worthy of all praise. And the prayers of the people rose like incense. For lack of time, we did not read all those middle chapters about the bowls of God's wrath or the great battle with the beast or the fall of Babylon and the victory of the King of Kings. And then in Revelation 19 and 20, we see a wedding feast of the Lamb and the opening of the Book of Life. And now, finally, we come to the last two chapters, Revelation 21 and 22. The two chapters of the prophecy which provide a vision of hope to those who persevere in the midst of trouble and conflict. The old ways will end, for Jesus is coming. And I'll read parts of Revelation 21 and 22. It begins with John writing this: "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Look, God's dwelling is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away.' He who was seated on the throne said, 'I am making everything new.' Then he said, 'Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true.' He said to me, 'It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give water without cost from the spring of the water of life. Those who are victorious will inherit all this, and I will be their God, and they will be my children.'" And then the prophecy continues with some description of the New Jerusalem, the Bride of the Lamb, a huge city, 1,500 miles by 1,500 miles, full of precious stones. And then in verse 22, John continues, "I did not see a temple in the city, because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and the Lamb is its lamp. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their splendor into it. On no day will its gates ever be shut, for there will be no night there. The glory and honor of the nations will be brought into it. Nothing impure will ever enter it, nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb, down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. There will be no more night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light. And they will reign forever and ever. And the angel said to me, "These words are trustworthy and true." The Lord God, who inspires the prophets, sent his angel to show his servants the things that must soon take place. "Look, I am coming soon. Blessed is the one who keeps the words of the prophecy written in this scroll." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The final vision of Revelation begins with God making everything new. New. A new heaven. A new earth. And the movement is not quite what everyone expects. It's not people going up to heaven to be made new. It's heaven coming down to earth. Jerusalem, the holy city of God, is coming down to make the earth new. And God is making his dwelling among the people. The word here, dwelling, is the same word for temple or tabernacle. And we remember that long ago, when God led his people out of slavery to a new land, they built a tabernacle so that God could dwell with them. Dwell among them. And then in the land of Israel, in the city of Jerusalem, a temple was built so that people could meet with God where he dwelt. And then Jesus, the Word who was with God from the beginning, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. Jesus himself tabernacled among us. And now John sees that all is being made new, and the old things will be wiped away. And the best thing of all, God will dwell among his people. "It is done. It is finished. It is completed," says the one on the throne. These are the words to be trusted, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the creation and the completion. These are words to be trusted, and God will give the water of life to all who are thirsty, to those who are victorious. If you remember those seven letters from Revelation 2 and 3, in each letter, the words of encouragement and warning concluded with a promise to the victorious. Promises like the ones who remained faithful would eat from the tree of life, Their names would be in the book of life. They would wear God's name and share God's rule. And now we hear again, the ones who are victorious will inherit all these things. And they will have a newly intimate relationship with God, who says, I will be their God, and they will be my children. The water of life will cleanse, purify, and sustain the victorious children of God. In the new creation, as in the promises of baptism, everything will be made new, a new creation for the ones who are claimed as the children of God. And God will dwell, God will tabernacle among them. God will dwell among them in person, so to speak. So there will no longer be any need for a tabernacle or a temple, because Revelation 21 tells us, the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple. They are the temple and the light. God's glory is all the light they need. Isaiah 60 had said, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord shines upon you. And the nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn, and all the wealth on the seas will be brought to you. And now Revelation 21 says, the nations will walk by its light, and the kings will bring splendor into the new city of God. That great multitude from Revelation 7, the multitude from every nation and tribe and people and language, they are all there. And the gates of the city will never close. Everyone can come in anytime. All are welcome. And nothing unclean will enter there, because all God's children have already been washed clean. The World Council of Churches met this past week, and it gives us another vision of all the nations meeting together. And someone wrote about it, that it offers those who attended the gift of decentering ourselves in the face of the spirit-infused diversity of the global body of Christ. And it's a little picture of what happens in Revelation 22. For in Revelation 22, we see that the water of life is flowing from God's throne through the city and out to the world. And alongside that river grows the tree of life. The tree of life. That brings us back to the Garden of Eden. In the Garden of Eden, the tree of life held forbidden fruit, and a curse came upon those who ate of it. In this new garden, the tree by the river in the new creation, this tree of life now holds fruit for everyone to eat, anytime. And the leaves of the tree heal all the trouble of all the nations. The fruit and the leaves bring healing life every month of the year to all the people from every tribe. The curse has been lifted. Those who had been banished from the garden are now welcome into the new garden in the new city. And whether you're a country boy or a city girl, there's a place for you there. In this new city, this new garden, this new heaven on earth, the throne of God and of the Lamb will be right there in person, face to face. Craig Kester writes in the book Revelation and the End of All Things, in the New Jerusalem, the barriers of sin and mortality are removed by the grace of God, and the redeemed find themselves again in the garden. Instead of hiding from God's face, they turn toward God's face. For just as the privilege of being God's people is extended to the nations, the privilege of serving as high priest is extended to all worshipers who bear God's name on their foreheads. He says the promise that the righteous might one day see the Lord comes to its fulfillment. The righteous may one day see the Lord. One of my favorite verses from 1 Corinthians 13 offers that promise. Now, I see only a dim reflection, but then I will see face to face. Then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. For now, we see just a glimpse of glory. There is still so much mystery. And yet, the angel said to John and says to us, these words are trustworthy. As the promise in Revelation, the prophecy, nears its conclusion, we are reminded that the angel is sharing this vision from Jesus with the apostle John. And he passes along that revelation to encourage the churches. He shares it with the people who are serving God to show them and to show us what is yet to come. And then the voice of Jesus breaks in, saying, behold, I am coming soon. Blessed is the one who keeps these words. As at the beginning of this revelation, blessed is the one who takes these words to heart. And in the middle, in Revelation 14, there was another beatitude. Blessed are those who die in the Lord. Some of these precious passages in Revelation are read at funerals because they are so richly full of promise and hope. I read part of Revelation 21 at Julie Bergsma's funeral just over a week ago. I read the part that says, God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. And this past week, our niece Laura DeYoung, who's also a pastor, wrote in the blog The 12 about how words like these bear us up in times of grief, even when we can scarcely trust them. Somehow we still believe them. Laura was writing about the death of her cousin, our nephew Simon, who died suddenly of a pulmonary hemorrhage 3 weeks ago. She wrote how the words of the liturgy of the funeral service spoke of hope and faith and love. Words that we believe to be true, she said, even when we don't feel that to be so. And she wrote about how her sister struggled with the liturgy. Laura wrote, my sister, who has Down syndrome, doesn't like to be sad. Who does? She kept insisting over the week that our cousin would want us to be glad as we remembered him. And she had her pencil out during the funeral, scratching out the words grief and pain and sadness and scribbling in peace, comfort, and hope instead. When I read what Laura wrote about what Jovita did, I thought, this is what Revelation 21:22 promises. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain. We can scratch out all those words. Pain and tears will be replaced with joy and laughter. The curse will be replaced with blessing. Darkness will be banished and the light of Christ will be there. Death will be vanquished and life will reign because of the water of life, the tree of life, for the healing of the nations. And we will see Christ face to face. And so now we need to read the conclusion of John's prophecy, some of those last verses from Revelation 22. We hear the voice saying, look, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to each person according to what they have done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may go through the gates into the city. Outside the city are the immoral, murderers, those who practice falsehood. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to give you this testimony for the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, come. Even here, the Spirit of God is present, and the bride, the city, the church of Christ, together they say, we say, come. And let the one who hears say, come, Revelation tells us. And all of us who hear these words from Jesus are encouraged to extend that invitation, telling others, come. Revelation 22 continues, let the one who is thirsty come, and let the one who wishes take the free gift of the water of life. He who testifies to these things, Jesus Christ himself, says, yes, I am coming soon. The Apostle John breaks in and says, amen. Come, Lord Jesus. And the conclusion, the grace of the Lord Jesus be with God's people. The whole Bible ends with blessing. It ends with a blessing that is full of grace, because it is only by the grace of the Lord that any of us will be there. By grace alone, there will be nothing unclean there. None of us can be pure on our own, right? But by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the one who offered his life for ours, the one who is worthy to open the scroll of life, by his grace, all the stain of sin is washed clean by the blood of the Lamb. And the water of life, the water that purifies, refreshes, sustains, is making ready a holy people for God. There will be no more sin, no more conflict about what constitutes sin, no more pain or death, no more tears. All of that will be wiped away. Friends, Christ is coming soon, and the people who remain faithful, even in the face of challenge and pressure and persecution, the people who will come through victorious, all who hear this revelation and take the warning and encouragement to heart, all will hear the voice of Jesus say, grace be with you all. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. I'd like to conclude with a prayer from a hymn that we are not singing, but is so beautiful, that I'll read the fourth verse of Jerusalem the Golden as our prayer. Oh God, how lovely is that city, the home of God's elect. How beautiful the country that eager hearts expect. Oh Christ, in mercy, bring us to that eternal shore where Father, Son, and Spirit are worshiped evermore. And all God's people say,